Delighted to discover who you are. Anything is possible if you believe. So join us on this beautiful journey.
Soul Nectar Show.
Hi, this is Carrie Hummingbird, and this is Soul Nectar, that show that talks about essence place, that connection to that which is bigger than us, beyond this current lifetime, that we are playing a role as whoever we think we are right now. That would be me, Carrie Hummingbird, and Sandra D. Robinson over here. Yay! So let me tell you a little bit about Sandra in case you have not met her before. The media has titled her the Charisma Coach. In 2010, she founded Charisma on Camera, guiding sales forces and experts around the globe to develop authentic power behind their personal presence and communication skills. She has become an international speaker, author, and TV host. Her first career put her on televisions worldwide. As an actress, she played many roles on Another World, Sunset Beach, Bold and the Beautiful, General Hospital, Days of Our Lives, and many primetime shows as well. During her many years in Hollywood, Sandra D. consistently supported wildlife conservation through fundraising events and hands-on work with animals. She currently applies her decades of studies on human and animal behavior in unique events known as Charismatic Cowgirl Retreats. Here, nature, specifically horses, transforms women's perception of the world around them and their abilities to make improvements within it. So I love this. And now I think my audience is understanding, why are you on my show? Because you're like, wait a second, you're Carrie Hummingbird. It makes perfect sense. Just wait till you hear her story. So of course, we've already talked because, as you guys know, I always pre-interview everybody to make sure it's going to be good and juicy. And it is. It's been a really good story today. So talk to us about your finding your connection to your essence place, that which is bigger than you, the sense of something larger than your physical body. Talk to us. I know it's a circuitous story, so just tell it.
It's for everyone. It is for everyone, right? It's always a crazy, it's never a straight path. You don't ever wake up one day and say, God, please show me who I am. And boom, there you are, lightning strike. So when it comes to actual faith, I definitely was raised in an organized religion, which kind of set me off pretty far in the opposite direction for a while. I did my own searching, and at one point, my life just got so kind of bad. I mean, it got to a point where things were not going well at all. I had gone from making a really good amount of money to making next to nothing, didn't handle that well. The people that were around me they weren't quality people. They weren't, and I think it was God's way of clearing everything out. And I think we have those points. And at that point, I actually ran into I was introduced to a pastor, and this is kind of funny. I'm Christian, and you'll hear these stories of like people with these beautiful, I was on my knees and I saw, I sat at lunch with the pastor and he said, would you like to accept Christ as your savior? And I said, sure, what the hell, nothing else has mattered. Nothing else has worked. But I said, sure, what the hell, nothing else has worked. Not exactly the most romantic version, right, of finding your path. But what's interesting is for me, there was no lightning strike. I woke up the next day seeming like I was in the exact same situation. There was no more money in the bank the very following day, but yet something did shift. And over the next 2 years, I really started to notice that things were different. And when I would ask for clarity on things, I would get it. And so as that started to happen and I actually started to read scripture more, I discovered that there is something much bigger than me. And I was understanding so much more. And I now at this point, there's absolutely no doubt that that crazy path into that really dark place and all the other, circuitous? All the other crazy things that went on in my life, from, you know, being a late baby to my parents, and some bad programming I got there, all the way up until what I'm doing today, I'm grateful for every bit of it. And now, especially now, because you talk about how people find their purpose and everything comes together, I'm sure I still have a ways to go, but I'm really starting to feel that now. And so that just helps me get more fire to help other people not give up and to just keep searching, keep asking, and keep harvesting all the stuff that you're about, because you'll be surprised one day. If you do that, you'll look around and say, oh my gosh, everything that I've learned, loved, studied, experienced has led me to where I am today. And it might be the perfect place for you to be able to serve the world and make that impact that you're designed to make.
You know, one of the interesting things about you, I think, is, you know, you've been this actor, you know, and
for a long time.
And I think about people that are actors, you know, they slide in and out of roles, like they slide in and out of identities.
Yeah.
And it's such an interesting idea, you know, that actually as souls, you know, profoundly enough, that's what we're really doing on a bigger level. We're sliding in and out of these identities. But there is something eternal and something that is there throughout all of that. And I think that you had a little bit of a journey in discovering your own identity.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that.
I borrowed identities. That's why I became an actor. My mom had me at an older age. Let's just say now it wouldn't be so unusual, but it was then. And it had been 14 years between my closest sibling and me. And as it turns out, mom wasn't really programmed to be a super loving, affectionate, child rearing, you know, kind of like mama kind of mom. She was a little hands off, even with my brothers and sisters. By the time I came along, I literally was told, and I don't think my father ever knew much of this, but she literally said to me, life would be better if you wouldn't have been born.
Wow.
So I heard her say to my dad, do you know how much money we'd have if it wasn't for her? So messages like this, I mean, and I'm not saying that for people to go, oh my gosh, what a horrible childhood, because it wasn't. I mean, I have met people that have the most horrific experiences of growing up. I absolutely cannot complain. My father adored me, but we all get bad programming from
somebody.
Whether it's an ex-husband, a brother, a sister, a bully, a mom, or a dad, there's always something that's a lie that we own, and sometimes we own it way too long. And so my lie was, you shouldn't be here. You're not worthy of being here. And so when I discovered in school, like a school play or something, I discovered acting and got accolades for it, because when I could be someone else, I dove all in. So I went, that's my reason for being here, to be anybody but me. So you can see how it works. And I didn't know how to do anything else. I was all in. And number one, there's a lesson. If you want something, go all in, you know, and just maybe in a naive way, that's exactly what I did. And within 6 months, I met a manager, went from a little hometown outside of Pittsburgh to auditioning in New York City, and 5 screen tests in 3 months, which is unheard of. I didn't know any better. I didn't know. I'd never been in the industry before. I wondered why people weren't hiring me. I mean, that's insane, right? There are people that are much more talented than I ever was as an actor, and they'll be out in LA for 10 years and never get a screen test. So I was very fortunate. The timing was right. And that was my first job. That I was on that show total for 6 years the first time, and then I came back. So 9 years I played Amanda on Another World.
Wow. And
I went from show to show to show. Soap operas are very incestuous. You know, we just hop from one to the other.
I've noticed that. Yes. There's lots of themes of incest and other things going on.
There's all kinds of, it's
dramatic.
It's a colorful world. So, yeah. And at some point, not too long into my career, the character was very, very popular. And so I had to face the fact that I wasn't comfortable in my own skin, because the fans that were making the show popular, that were essentially paying my substantial paycheck, I would run away from them. Because I was scared to death that they would come up to me outside of a studio or a restaurant or my home where they were waiting and find out that I wasn't all that in a bag of chips. Find out that I was just some girl that never should have been born from Pittsburgh. So
that's so crazy. Like, I guarantee that does not compute for any of your fans. Like, that just
Well, I want
not understand that.
But I want it to, because I wholeheartedly believe that. And even once I started my company, I mean, I did manage to get to a point where I was too uncomfortable. I knew that I either had to quit my job and go be a crazy cat lady somewhere, or and hide away from the world, or I had to deal with it and figure out. I actually thought it was a performance issue. So I sought performance coaches. I was in psychotherapy. I was following everybody from Anthony Robbins to every other. I learned NLP. I learned hypnosis. I learned all kinds of presentation tools. I learned how to host on TV, all to try to find who I was. Isn't that insane?
Looking outside yourself to find yourself. But a lot of us do that. We all take that journey. You know, I mean, I myself have got my bag of tricks, you know, looking everywhere to find the answer that's right for me and asking everyone, what do you think I should be doing? And I still catch myself doing it even today where I'm like, does this resonate with you? Do you like this? You know, but does it matter?
That's human, though.
I know.
And yes, I mean, it does matter to us. It does. And what's interesting is that it finally got to the point where accidentally a bunch of that stuff came together, where God finally said, okay. And it was a situation where I was hosting a TV infomercial, which, by the way, I could never book because I didn't own who I was. So they would say, oh, sweetie, just be yourself and start the cameras rolling. And I would fall to pieces because I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know who I was. I had no value. So I had to do a lot of work on myself before this moment happened. I got enough done work-wise and performance-wise that I booked an infomercial, and they were paying me for it. And I was standing there and something went wrong and my co-host started laughing. So I started laughing and I thought they were continuing as a rehearsal. So I didn't say the words correctly. I sort of like was kind of goofing off a little bit. And I heard the silence and realized that they were actually recording it. And I thought I was going to be fired. I was like, oh my gosh, because I was so worried about being perfect. That was the part I hadn't let go of. I was like, I have to be perfect or I won't be liked. I have to be perfect. And I definitely wasn't. I mean, I messed up the words that were their words that I was supposed to be saying, you know, and kind of put my own thing in there. And the director actually was quiet because the director was walking all the way out and he walked up to us and said, that was fantastic. Can you please do the rest of the show like that?
Now, wow. How did you feel at that moment?
Completely confused and blown away. I was like, I was trying so hard to work at being perfect. And the reality was they just wanted me to have fun. And right. And so that's,
totally.
That's why I launched Charisma on Camera, because once I got to that point, I was able to start booking things and talk to people, make connections, make money. My revenue went up. My booking ratio went way up in that industry. And I'm not acting anymore, because the funny thing is, I don't feel like I need it. I like being me. I don't want to be somebody else now.
You were saying that at lunch when we were having lunch. You were like, you had a role that came up and you said, you know, I just really don't want to do it.
I don't want to be
somebody else anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose there's still a piece of me. I can still look at the art of acting and go, wow, that person's really good. And I don't have to. I think that we go through chapters in our life. That one's closed. And I'm really glad that I did it. I learned a lot. It actually taught me empathy in a lot of ways, because I had to take on a lot of the characters and things. So I'm actually really glad that I did it, and it was a fun experience, but, I'm much happier doing what I'm doing now. I feel like I can impress upon people much quicker than it took me. It won't take them 7 years to find out that they can just have fun when they're presenting on camera or on stage. And that's the thing I love to give to people, is they walk in thinking they have to be a certain way. And Carrie, you're around people that present all the time. You know what I'm talking about. People will look at some of the really super polished performers and go, I can't speak in public because I'm not like that. I can't do videos because I'm not like you. And my favorite thing is to just prove to them you can be you. I mean, Carrie, that's what you're doing. You're just like, hey, here I am.
Yeah, and I'm not doing this the way that most people would do it. That's okay. I'm doing it my way. And people have told me offline that they really are enjoying me. So that makes me feel good. You know, I'm validated by this whole experience.
We still need that. Is this resonating with you?
I'm needing validation. Tell me you love me. Just tell me you love me. That's all I really want. Please.
But that's human nature, right?
Totally. That's what we all want.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely, I always make a point to go up before I go out, you know what I mean? Like go up before you go out to other people, because that's what really matters. But definitely we have to have that sense of validation. It's good when somebody says you're doing a good job and pat you on the back. You're like, thank you. You know,
this is so interesting because, you know, you actually did to the extreme what all of us are doing anyway. You know, we're all pretending to be someone we're not.
Yes.
Generally speaking.
Yeah, sometimes there are very few that, like, I was reading an article about Amy Schumer, and she's one of those, it's like, I've always been really confident. I've always known what I wanted to do. I actually have a friend like that. So somewhere out in that audience, maybe there is somebody like that. But for the most part, no, we grow up and we try on different pieces of our personality, and we should just keep the piece that fits the best. And then move forward. But sometimes we hold on to the raggedy stuff a little too long. We wear something that's more colorful than it should be, or not colorful enough. And so, yeah, eventually we get it right.
Well, the thing I had to learn is that it's all a bunch of stories anyway. You know, I have a very active imagination.
Yeah.
And all the things I thought I was, or the way, you know, it was all just a big fabrication in my mind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the worst part about this is my mother told me that at one point, it pissed me off so bad. She said, Carrie, you're just making this all up. And I got so upset because I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm really suffering. Like, oh, this is happening to me and it's awful. And this is in the height of my, like, really being upset about my diagnoses that I had. And I was just so mad and feeling sorry for myself and my early childhood abuse and my stories.
Sure.
And, you know, she tells you're just making this all up. And I bet this got me so angry at that moment. And now, like, I've come to terms with that because that voice has still been in the back of my head. Sure. And now I'm like, I'm in a different place. I'm like, yes, I'm making this all up.
Now we're going to make it up a little bit more fun.
Differently. But I'm claiming it. It's like, yes. It was like a big healing for me. It was this big healing moment in this, you know, these shamanic retreats I go on, and I do a lot of personal healing work. And it was actually this really deep, profound realization of why, yes, I am making this all up. And now I'm enjoying it because I know I'm making it up.
Yeah.
And I'm just telling a good story, and I'm becoming, you know, sort of like years ago when I left my ex-husband, about a year later, I made this vision board. And at that time, right when I had that argument with my mom, I was just telling you about, I said, you know what? I'm not owned by anybody. I've got very defiant. And that's when I changed my name to Hummingbird. Because I was like, you know what? I'm not my former name. I'm not my childhood name. I'm not my ex-husband's last name. What last name is mine? And I think as women, we go through this, like this identity crisis. Like, who am I? And I took the name of Spirit. I took the name of the vision I received from Spirit of this hummingbird. And I said, you know what? I'm Carrie Hummingbird, damn it. And so I changed my Facebook to it. And my friends at first were like, what are you? Who are you? Like, that's so crazy. They didn't like it, but then they really loved it. So I became that. And I started thinking, like, who is Carrie Hummingbird? I started becoming my own creation. Is that the craziest thing? But that's what I did. Talk a little bit about, you know, how you found yourself, because I think it's similar.
And it's interesting that you said that people, I want to touch on that real quick, because when you said people reacted differently, when you step into who you are or find your strengths and then really step into them, even when I'm working on the performance aspect with somebody, if, like, for instance, if they change the way they speak, and just like, I get people that come in and they speak real quiet like this, and they talk in the back of their throat. It's really hard to hear them, right? But someone told them that this is their value, and maybe they've changed a lot, but they still are holding on to that.
Yes. They hold us. They try to hold us where we...
Yeah, somewhere it'll hold on. And for some people, it's there. And so I have them change the way they speak. So on a daily basis, they're strengthening that. And what happens is when you do that, or you change the way you relate to people, I have people that are so fearful that they can't do interviews because they can't even, they don't know how to relate to people. So I literally have to make somebody go from being self-aware, which is the scary place, because all that stuff is playing in your head that you're not good enough, that you're not smart enough, you're not gonna be able to do this, they're not gonna like you, to being others aware. And so those changes, those are really significant for us, and it makes us step into who we are, but it also will make people around us uncomfortable because it's different.
Well, because we're seeing them now.
Well, I don't know. It's just people don't like change. They really don't. They befriend you, and maybe they like you because of certain things. Maybe they like you because they feel like they dominate you a little bit. And as soon as you become strong, they're like, wait a minute, I have to adjust. I don't know if I like that. Why do you talk like that? That's not how you talk. That's not how you walk into parties. You don't talk to people like that. And all of a sudden, you're stepping into your own. The people that really can't handle it are the ones that are probably going to go away. And that's actually going to be a good thing.
That's okay. Yeah, I've had a few of them.
And that will happen. That will happen. But that change, that as you get stronger, as you change your name and you step into, right, people are going to kind of freak out. I'm like, what are you doing?
And I had some friends be like, what? You are crazy. Like, you are you with your drum. And I had this friend, John, who was like, just a humorous guy. He could be stand-up comic. And he was just like, he would come over and go, nyan, 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 you know, like, make fun of me. But I was like, you know what? This is who I am. I don't care, you know, that it's uncomfortable for you, you know, or you think, well, you have all these rules about, you know, how I can show up as Carrie Hummingbird and with my drum. Like, I can show up with my drum if I want to. My drum is natural for me. It actually is part of who I am. So, but owning those aspects is challenging when people, you know, you're kind of owning what you really love in a public way.
And if you are a big vision thinker, you're going to hit that over and over and over again. Because you're going to come up with ideas that people go, that's crazy. Talking about imagination and big vision, I always use, and I think I have this in my book, the example of Walt Disney. Imagine being Walt Disney, driving these executives with all this money out to literally the middle of an orange grove. We know what it is now, but try to picture driving out in this old car to the middle of an orange grove and saying, here's what I picture. And they looked at him like he was out of his freaking mind. They did. I don't know how many people he took out there. Time and time again, they're like, Walt is out of his freaking mind. He's like seeing this land of dreams, like he's dreaming a little too much. He's crazy. And now look, it's the most recognizable brand in the world. So if you think big, people are going to think that you're crazy. It's okay.
It's okay. I finally just accepted that people are going to think whatever they want to think. Mm-hmm. And that I have to be me. And as a matter of fact, like, if I'm not being who I really am authentically, it's really uncomfortable for me to exist. And I had to make that choice, you know, me or the roles I was playing.
Right.
To please others who then, by the way, still weren't happy.
That's why the pleasing of others is never the way to
does it work?
No.
You can't make others happy who aren't, you know, they have to make themselves happy. That's the truth.
And I think one of the blessings of having a mother like mine is that even now, we can't make her happy. No one can. Her mind is chemically different. Mm-hmm. She doesn't process things the way we do. So when my dad was sick, I would go home and surprise my dad and bring him funny gifts and, you know, make him smile and make him laugh. And I always felt like there was something there. I could please him. I could make him happier. And it was a very rewarding relationship. But there are those people that you can't. I don't have that with my mom. And I wish I did. But when I realized that I can't, it's actually kind of freeing. To just say, oh, so I'm really in this relationship, I'm just responsible for how happy I am. And it was a great lesson because it's that in every relationship.
That is so true. Yeah, I had that same realization with my ex-husband and my mother.
A double whammy. Yeah.
they were mirrors. They were the very, I love them both, kind of My mom, I love a lot. My ex-husband, I'm neutral now. Thank goodness.
That's good.
They're our biggest teachers because we, you know, especially as we're healers or we're empaths or we came here with a big bright light, sometimes we forget that we're really here to find our own happiness through life and serve by example. Mm-hmm. And we can't actually ever really change what somebody else is thinking.
True. That's true. And it's interesting that you said mirrors because working with the horses now is something that when my dad worked a lot. And so he was, even if he was home, he was working. So he wasn't actually present so much, which was fine. When I did have him, it was quality time, but I just didn't have a lot. And so my mom wouldn't spend a lot of time with me. So A, my imagination grew, and B, I started to get really fascinated with animals, partly fed because I didn't have play dates. We lived in the country, so we had animals and wildlife, and this, you know, nobody had fences, so people's dogs and cats would come running by, and I didn't have any, but I was able to just sort of study these critters. And then my brother was a wildlife biologist, so he's 18 years older than me, so he started sending home magazines with wildlife. So one was called Ranger Rick. It's a kids magazine, like National Wildlife Federation.
I remember this. Yeah.
So I would literally read every page, study it, memorize it, draw all the pictures. I mean, I would just tear these things to pieces, right? And so literally at the age of 4, I started studying animals. And then as I grew up, I was very involved and hands-on with a lot of wildlife conservation efforts, and I continued to study them. Even did a radio show with zoologists and biologists only a couple of years ago. And so it's interesting that I ended up finding horse therapy a couple of years ago and seeing it work with children that had, really, as I say, I've known children that have grown up with horrible childhoods, and they were using horses in therapy for these kids. And this was years ago, and I was like, okay, God, I know you brought me here for a reason. I don't really understand what this means, but as it turns out, the training that I'm using using the horses for is based on pretty much what I saw that day. It's based on trauma therapy, only I'm using it for leadership and communication. So my belief is that you have somebody that is a success driven, I guess you could say, or has a big vision, they're going to be affecting people around them. Like Carrie, you have a big vision, you affect people around you. So the more in truth they can be, and the better at relationships and the better at communicating they can be, the better the world is around them. If you think about that ripple effect, I'm super excited to work with this, with nature in this way. Horses are the first introduction, but horses are a great mirror to how you show up in the world.
They sure are. Yeah. I'll tell you, I was in the back of a horse one time by myself. I had this boyfriend, kind of boyfriend. He wasn't really. He was a family friend who I fell for and fell in love with. And then he really was going to college and I was still in high school. And it turns out I went to visit him for this Christmas holiday at his parents' house, and he had horses.
Oh. Okay.
And, you know, he was actually treating me really horribly. But we did go out to the horses, and it was interesting because the horse tried to brush me off in the trees.
Aww.
But it didn't. It got re-seared away. But it's such a interesting thing. The horse can read you, you know. And later in my life, I rode a horse where the horse actually responded to my authority. So like we were in a precarious situation.
Yeah.
And I was in my power, and I led that horse with my intuition to turn in circles because it was wanting to get freaked out on a really narrow path, you know.
Yeah.
And I just naturally knew to do that. And I was in my power much later in life. And so it's interesting. I know what you're talking about. The horse responds, you know, in the first situation, you know, I was this lovesick girl. It was, you know, just being a doormat, you know, and later in my life, I was in my power. It's a whole different situation with the horse.
It's very true. And the work that I do, we don't ride. So, at least not yet, maybe further down the line, but we don't ride. We just have people in a very safe environment. There's professionally facilitated. I usually do it. And they go in, I say, just, you know, go essentially start a relationship. Like, well, and now people will say, well, I don't know what horses like. I said, well, when you meet somebody, do you know what they like? So do you know what language they speak? No. Okay. Well, go at it. Figure it out, you know? And the way you show up in any situation like that is really how you show up in life. So it can be very humbling sometimes and brutally honest. But when you go from something like where you were trying to be somebody that you weren't. So if we have a CEO that comes in and thinks that he's in control, but he's really not, that horse won't respond at all.
That's so interesting.
Won't respond. They can ask it and the horse will be like, yeah, whatever. But if a woman comes in, and we had a woman come in that was really had bad experience. She was kind of afraid of horses. And she's like, I want to get over my fear of horses. Now, not everybody comes with any kind of knowledge or experience of a horse. They sometimes come just to get out to the country to have some time off to investigate this new natural leadership program. So she came saying specifically, I'm uncomfortable around horses and I want to get better. So she stood and she chose, you choose your own equine partner. She chose my highest strung horse. So I take the halter off the horse takes off. So instantly she's like, shh, right? And I go, are you okay? And she's like, yeah. I go, all right. So I leave her there. I mean, I'm still within reach and I know nothing's going to go wrong, but she stood there quietly and in her truth and just telepathically talked to this horse and brought that horse, all that horse walked all the way to the center where she was and stood there next to her. And she didn't say a word.
That's amazing.
That's standing in your truth. When a CEO who bullies his employees around comes in and tries to bully the horse is like, no.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
That guy actually came back not because of his work experiences. He came back because of his dating experiences, because the way you show up for one is how you show up. He wasn't getting what he wanted being single. Perhaps you need to learn how to ask. So, yeah.
Yeah, and connect. I like that too, because, you know, what I see in your experience shamanically is just that you learned at an early age how to use your other senses and your imagination to experience life.
Yeah. Yeah. It was always an adventure. And I think leave your kids alone so they can create an imagination. That's not a good idea all the time, but I did have a lot of alone time. And that's where I created the imagination. I wasn't sitting in front of a computer game. You know, I wasn't letting things get programmed into me. I was programming myself, kind of. Nature was programming me, which I think is so amazing. And I think that's the attraction to the work that I'm doing now. When I tell people, oh, I'm working with horses in a nature-based leadership and communication program, they go, oh my gosh. And I think it's sad, but it's a good thing that people feel this, I need more nature craving, because we do.
We certainly do. I mean, I can feel it if I spend too much time in front of, it's actually one of the things that Akeem is always telling me, Carrie, how much time did you spend in front of the computer today?
Yeah, yeah, that's
even
it.
I could do it.
Yeah, sure. We all do. We all do.
Mm-hmm. Just get trapped. I get lost in my thoughts or lost in the project. And then before I look up, oh, it's time to, whoops.
Yep.
So go take care of the body.
That's the thing. I usually choose really uncomfortable chairs because I can sit longer in Alan's office chair, my husband's chair. And if I sit in mine, because I bought the cute little country ranch, like hard wooden chair. But the good thing is I can't sit in it for very long because it hurts.
Yeah, it would hurt your bum. I can just feel that right now. Ow.
Yeah, it's cute, but my husband's like, you need to get a better chair. I'm like, no, because then I'd sit there too long. Like, I need to get up and move around and
spend more time in nature and spend more time. And I like this idea. I like what you're doing with the, you know, connecting with the horses, because the horses are going to show you what you're doing energetically, which is something I had to learn. In my energy, I had to learn how to soften, and nobody really could. I couldn't learn that lesson until I got involved with people who were really energetically conscious.
Yes.
And then they were able to tell me, Carrie, like, when you show up, like, the way I was showing up was a little bit, like, you know, out there.
Yeah.
And my energy was just, and if my energy was really happy, people were fine with that, generally speaking. But if I was sad, you could feel it everywhere. So
Yeah.
I had to learn how to manage and ground my energy. And even now when I play with my energy, I imagine that my energy is like a hug, like I'm wrapping it and folding it around myself.
That's
and
cool.
When I do that, like people feel it, they like it. It's like it's a tingly, nice thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know even when I help people when they're going up on stage, a lot of everything that I do, whether it's relationships with the horses or relationships from the stage as a speaker or through a camera lens, it's really all energy. It's how you use your energy and how you allow people in or don't. So when I have speakers that get up on stage and I'll say to them before I work with them, I go, do you look at the audience? And I had one sweet little woman who speaks internationally at a very high level. And she would say, and she's tiny to begin with. She'd get up on stage, hide behind the podium, which none of my people are ever allowed to do, by the way. Energetically just blocks you, right? So I'm like, podiums are poisonous. But before me, she would hide behind the podium and look up only until she saw a friendly face. Like, and then she would stare at that friendly face. And that was the only person she would talk to. I go, honey, you have to be the friendly face. Like, you have to give that energy out so that you can get it back, like triple. Oh, and she was a mom and she was a lovely woman, but for some reason when she was up on stage, all the walls went up and she would only let like one friendly face, you know, infiltrate. And like, no, you have to open it up and you have to bring those people into your friendly energy. It's a little different than what fear will have people thinking when they walk up on stage, but it's a much better experience that way, you know?
Well, I think it's such a blessing that you went through the journey that you went through. I mean, I would really posit that you knew yourself, you knew who you were from that early age, from all that connection time in nature, that was the truth and you knew it. And, you know, and then you fell prey to some of the things we all fall prey to, which is these negative stories.
Yeah.
You know, it's we get told.
When you said that, because the first question that you asked me was, when did you know that there was something bigger than you, essentially, right? I've always known that. And when I was in the organized religion growing up, I mean, it's funny because my dad actually wasn't part of that. I didn't know for years. I mean, I didn't know till I left the house that my dad went along with my mom because she wanted to go to this particular church. And all I could do was be in nature, kind of get the feel that there was, things were aligned there. When I was by myself and watching the birds and watching all this, there were things that were sad. There were birds that would fall the nest and die, but things were right. They were balanced. It was right. It made sense. And then I would go to church and I would ask questions because things didn't make sense.
Yeah.
So that's the reason for me that I took that organized religion and like, oh, heck no. And I went off investigating, but I never ever thought that I was the center of the universe by any means. I always knew that there was something bigger. I just wasn't sure exactly what it was or how to relate. And I came really close a couple of times. And then on that fateful day when I said, what the hell, nothing else has worked. I'm kind of, oh my God. Thinking back, I was like, what that pastor must have thought of me, you know? But the point is, you know, God will meet you wherever you are.
That is so true. Yeah. So true. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show today and sharing your whole story with us. I think it's really a lot to think about in this broadcast. I think people are going to be like, wow, there's some deep, profound stuff in here if you stop to consider.
Yeah.
All the things we talked about today. So, but tell us a little bit about what your project is right now, what you're doing right now that people could participate with you.
Well, if anybody is kind of battling that presentation fear, Charisma on Camera is what I founded 7 years ago. And at charismaoncamera.com, you can sign up, get some tips to help you right off the bat, feel great. I also will give you 6 months of tips every single week, super short, so you can keep building on that. And then if you stay in the community, you'll find ways that I can work with you there. CharismaticCowgirl.com is the new branch. And so I'd love for people to just join in that community. Go onto the Facebook. There's a little Facebook group. CharismaticCowgirl.com will tell you a little bit about it. And as we're building out the website, there's going to be more blogs and things on there. But on the Facebook group, I want people that, you know, from all over. These sessions that I do, of course, are based where I am in Austin, but I want people contributing from all over. So it's nature-based. So put some stuff on there that inspires you that's nature-based. Put pictures of your dog or your horse or, you know, a funny story. I just want people to be really truthful and real. And that's the community is really about strength, finding your own strengths, compassion for every living thing, and finding that peace that comes from nature and leading from that place. So whether you're leading your family or your work, that's really, you know, I want people to get involved and join the community because it's, we have big plans. We have big plans.
Oh, I bet you do. Yeah. I have no doubts.
Stand back.
Well, I'm glad to be part of your community as well. And I'm really delighted to have shared you with all of these wonderful people out there. And hopefully everyone's inspired to go on their own journey and to find their essence and their truth and unabashedly live from that place. And I always end everything with kisses. So do you want to join me?
Sure.
Okay. Till next time, guys. Bye.
Soul Nectar Show. Awaken, awake. The Soul Nectar Show. Take a sip from the drip of nectar. From the source of who you are.